Welcome to the show.
Do you know what today is?
April 22nd, we celebrate Earth Day.
Hey, always recycle.
Reduce, reuse, recycle.
We recycle everything.
Y'all recycle.
Earth Day.
Time to focus on things everyone can do to help the planet.
Happy Earth Day, everyone.
Happy Earth Day.
Hold your ears, folks. It's showtime.
Live and local with Monica J. on 92.3 FM and 99.1 FM Talk.
Well, no matter how hard I could try to sound like Monica J, it is definitely not Monica J. I'll update you on Monica's health situation here a little bit later. It's Jerry Evans in for Monica today with a couple of guests to start off the show right away because of limited time. I got him to put down the machine gun and join us and talk about guns and various other topics. Tom, how are you?
I'm good. We've been having a great time making a joyful noise for the Second Amendment.
Oh, good for you. Tom, and I was going to introduce you, I just realized this last evening when I was thinking about this. With all the changes that go on in talk radio and everything, some people, the shows get canceled, shows go away, some people die. You and Lars Larson have been on this radio station, 99.1. You're also on 92.3 FM Talk. Most consistent for the longest time since the radio station began in 2006, 15 years. So,
wow.
Congrats.
Well, thanks. Well, thank you. We appreciate you bringing gun talk to folks in the area.
Well, we appreciate the show very much. Sundays, 11 to 2, 92.3 and 99.1. And I got several topics, Tom. Some of them you've covered probably ad nauseum to where it makes you, it's kind of like being asked to play Free Bird by Lynyrd Skynyrd over and over again. But we'll get over those. Let's jump right into it with the proposed executive orders from Joe Biden. Just last Saturday, we were doing a remote broadcast at a grand opening of longtime advertiser Nevada Cerakote, as well as their new gun store, which specializes in build-it-yourself kits, Cerakoting of Glock parts, and those types of things. 30 days from now, of course, less than that, it'll be in writing. It'll be at the Department of Justice. What is your opinion of what Joe Biden has got proposed, and which of the six are the worst?
Well, let's go over there. You mentioned the idea of build-it-yourself guns. Basically, Joe Biden is trying to pay off some debts. He incurred some heavy debt from the gun ban lobby that helped him get elected, and he made them promises. So he's trying to come through on those. He knows most of them he can't do. I mean, he can't confiscate guns. He can't ban guns. He can't even ban assault weapons or anything else by executive order. That has to go through the Congress, and that's a long shot. But there are some things he's trying to do. One of them is to say you can no longer, after 250-plus years in the United States of America, you can no longer build your own gun. Because that's been legal since this country was founded. And he's saying, well, now that we have technology, you can't build them. Well, but you could build them with a lathe. You could build them with a milling machine. You could build them with a file if you want to. But you can't build them, with a 3D printer or something else. So we'll see what happens with that. I think here's the thing. Several attorney generals, state attorney generals, and one governor have already signed up to challenge this in court, to challenge everything Joe Biden's doing, because they're saying, hey, people here like building their own guns. This is fun. It's legal. It's constitutional. So I think he's going to run into a big roadblock on this one.
You know, on that particular subject too, Tom, I noticed a couple of states, South Dakota and North Dakota in particular, and our next guest is coming on after you, former sheriff, have said that they will not enforce any unconstitutional executive orders that Joe Biden passes. And somebody with a good mind and a great machine shop could build a gun out of a scrap metal. What's he going to do, ban scrap metal?
I mean, that's the whole deal. How far do you want to go with it? It's kind of a crazy deal here.
Yeah. Let's go over.
I got to share with you what's going on here. We've been out here shooting. We're on some private property. Sheriff's deputy just rolled up. He's talking to some of my buddies here. He's probably got a call of, hey, I'm hearing gunshots. He's trying to find out what's going on. So if I have to leave, you'll understand.
I understand completely. Good luck with that. It's funny.
I think we'll be okay.
Completely off topic, but I just met a guy up behind my property earlier this week that just retired from the Louisiana Police Department. Looked like a young guy. And I said to him, why in the world would you want to retire from that profession when you're so well thought of these days? And from Louisiana, nonetheless. Back to a couple of different things. Let's talk about one of the recent mass shootings. And aren't we glad, isn't it a good thing, in Indianapolis that FedEx banned employees from carrying firearms? They had even fired somebody years ago for having a firearm in his vehicle. And actually, FedEx won that court case. But here they go, banning employees from having firearms. And I will say this real quick as a compliment. Tom Gresham taught me to not refer to a gun or a firearm as a weapon. It's not a weapon unless it's used as such. That stuck with me since you said that about 10 or 12 years ago.
Well, yeah, FedEx created a gun-free zone, but of course they never are. All gun-free zones are is free shooting areas for bad guys. It means that there are no good guys with guns. They can't protect themselves. They can't return fire. They can't do anything. All they can do is huddle in the corner and pray that the police eventually show up at 2, 3, 4, 10, 20 minutes later. Meanwhile, somebody's killing people. Gun-free zones are, at its very core, they're immoral. To tell people you are now prohibited from protecting yourself, from protecting your life, your human rights life. So, you know, it's just another failure of a gun-free zone. And frankly, I get it. People have to work and all of that. But if I had a choice, I would just never work at a place where they said this is a gun-free zone where you can't protect yourself. I just wouldn't do it.
Four different things, Tom, that are terminology. It's where the left, where the anti-gun people control the narrative. Each one, I don't know if you go over each one. I'll give you four of them. Ghost guns, gun show loophole, assault weapon, gun violence. Which of those makes the most sense?
Well, none of them make any sense because they're all created terms. And look, the gun ban lobby is really good at creating terms. Go all the way back to Saturday Night Special. And then they created assault weapon. There is no such thing. There's no definition for it. Ghost gun, there's no definition. And the key is if they can create a scary term, then they can create something that they say, okay, there's no actual definition, so it is infinitely expandable. We'll just keep putting guns into this category and say they are, even though we know that there's no common sense to the whole deal. But we could, and they use them to frighten people, and the media parrots it, and they scare the public, and they say, well, we need to do something about this. Well, actually, no. They're, you know, the idea of homemade guns being used in crimes, that's extremely rare. And the idea of so-called assault weapons, literally, in the U.S., according to the FBI, literally more people are killed with fists and feet than they are with rifles.
Mm-hmm. And they haven't done a ban on fists or feet, or it's not proposed as far as I know. And just to circle back to some of those bans, Tom, the one thing that I wish Republicans would do, and I know it's just wishful thinking, they're never going to learn. Ours never do anything to strengthen gun rights, and they never learn from D's and what D's do when they have power. I mean, the last Republican president that we had did a bump stock ban.
I don't trust any of them, but the Democrats, at least I can count on them to be anti-gun and anti-gun rights. The Republicans are wishy-washy, so, you know, I guess that's better than being completely 100% in favor of gun bans and confiscation.
And Tom, one more thing. To go back to the what you hear on the media a lot, and it's going to scare a lot of people. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm not letting the cat out of the bag, but it is legal to own a fully automatic machine gun. It is in Nevada.
I mean, and it's highly regulated. I mean, just this morning I was shooting. Let's see, an MP40 German World War II machine gun, a submachine gun, an HK MP5, an Uzi, two or three other full automatic machine guns, perfectly legal. The federal government knows about them, knows who has them. So it's just not an issue. And, oh, by the way, we should just go ahead and cover that. Assault weapons that they want to ban are not machine guns. Let me say that again. These guns that they want to ban are not machine guns. They are semi-automatic. They work exactly the same way that Teddy Roosevelt's hunting guns did. He hunted with a semi-automatic rifle 100 years ago.
Oh, you can look at a Browning bar versus a black scary rifle, and it's just it's cosmetics and nothing else. And yet, because it looks scary, or because somebody in Iraq or Afghanistan, a soldier carries something that looks similar, it should be banned. You know, one of the if you've never shot a machine gun, I haven't, but I have shot an automatic Armalite airsoft rifle, and that put a smile on my face.
Well, there's a reason we call the selector switch arm the giggle switch.
Yeah,
you shoot it, just makes you giggle. Now you do go through a lot of ammo, and you know they're more curiosities. I mean, there's almost, I wouldn't say no, but there's almost no crimes with full automatic guns. It's just so exceedingly rare that it's really difficult to ever find one. They're just not used in crimes.
Yeah, we had that shooting in Carson City at the IHOP from somebody that had modified the gun and made it a full auto. And you mentioned something. Go ahead, Tom, and then we'll wrap it up with.
No, just going to say, and obviously, if you modify it, that's a felony, federal felony. So
right.
These are people who are hell-bent on breaking the law anyway.
20,000-plus gun laws on the books enforce what there is there. One of the great questions you asked before to a potential candidate is, how many gun laws are you going to get rid of that are completely worthless and useless, as opposed to what new gun laws do you want to propose? Okay, here's the question, and here's the smile on your face leaving it. Ammo. Phil, what is going on with ammo again? We saw this during the Biden and Obama administration, or the Obama-Biden administration. And
right.
Back then you heard about all these agencies, federal agencies, like the Department of Agriculture being, you know, buying up all the ammo and everything. Everywhere you go, there's an excuse for a supply due to COVID, a supply chain problem and whatnot. But it is everything ammo. I was looking for a number 3 shell holder the other day and couldn't get one of those. What's going on?
The answer to this is really, it's really easy. There's no conspiracy. There's no government action. There's nothing. We are the enemy. We are buying ammo at a rate that the ammo companies cannot possibly keep up on. It is nothing more than people say, where's all the ammo? It's in your neighbor's garage. It's stacked deep. And he's been buying it, and he's buying more. This is nothing more than supply and demand, and we're simply exceeding the supply with our demand. The ammo companies are running 24/7 all the time. They're just no issues. So if you want to have more ammo on the shelves, stop buying all the ammo.
and gunpowder, too. You know, gunpowder does age.
Same deal.
It ages.
Yes.
But, you know, once you see it on the shelf, I'm human, and I'll go, boy, I should get more of that while there's still some on the shelf.
I know.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Sunday, 11 to 2, Tom Gresham, Gun Talk. What's the show this Sunday, Tom? Is there any material to cover?
We're going to talk about this. There's a ton of material to cover. We just uncovered a secret ATF document that was leaked, and it's all about what their plans are. We'll be breaking that news on the show with the reporter who broke that, so we're going to have some really interesting stuff going on. And, of course, we always welcome people to call in and give us their reports on the new guns or even old guns that they bought. Tell us about them.
All right, Tom, I want to hear some callers from Nevada on your show this Sunday. I'll be listening, and always appreciate your show, learn from it, and appreciate the friendship as well.
Thanks so much, Jerry. I really appreciate it.
All righty, Tom Gresham, this Sunday, 11 to 2 on Gun Talk on 99.1 and 92.3. Monica J is out. It's Jerry Evans in for Monica. Monica had set up a guest, and when I found out that the next guest sued the Clinton administration and won, I thought, well, we've got some simpatico going between me and him. I have not sued anybody and won. I've not been sued and lost. We'll talk to the next guest here in just a moment. Sheriff Mack from Arizona will be up next. Your calls after that at 884-9910 or texts at 884-9910.
Now available at the Herbal Emporium, the newest fragrance for the stoner in your life, Kush. The undeniable essence of dubage, ganja, and Mary Jane. One spritz and it will blow your mind. Plus, you'll smell like you've been working all day at the dispensary. Kush. Try all three scents. Purple Voodoo, Bubonic Chronic,
and Dank Sinatra.
Kush. New from Chanel number 420.
Younger. Smarter. Better. FM Talk KKFT. FM 99.1 is FM Talk. For Smith and Mason Valley, 92.3 FM Talk.
We should maybe change that to older, wiser, uglier. For me, anyway. Monica's not here. I'll fill you in on her health and her condition here a little bit later. Monica had set up a guest along with the Nevada Republican Women's Group, a special guest, and I have to apologize in advance. Richard Mack is the guest. Richard, I don't have the flyer that the Miss Doyle was supposed to send me, but so why don't we just start off with a little bit of a resume from you, because one of the first things that you told me. By the way, I drove through. Now, were you from Safford, Arizona?
Are you kidding? You've been to Safford, Arizona.
I drove through Safford, Arizona last September. I was on my way to the Gila Wilderness, Unit 16B, to hunt elk with a bow, and drove through that country, the southeast corner of the state of Arizona, which was the most convenient way to get into New Mexico, into the Gila Wilderness.
Well, you're absolutely correct, and that's where I was raised. Lived about 55 years there in Safford. Graduated from high school there, graduated from community college there, and then became sheriff there in 1988.
And you sued the Clinton administration. Tell us about that lawsuit.
Well, that's my calling card. That's the only reason that you and I are talking right now. That's the only thing that brought me to prominence and to some notoriety. When I served as sheriff in Graham County, which is the county seat of Safford, is the county seat of Graham County, I became the first sheriff in American history to start a lawsuit against the federal government, and that particular situation was the Clinton administration. So you might say I sued the Clintons and lived to tell about it. Another miracle.
So far. And let's not count chickens yet.
Yeah, the day's not over. Correct.
Well, let me also congratulate you, because you did more than two attorney generals under, or attorneys generals under, mm-hmm. Donald Trump did. Jeff Sessions and Bill Barr did nothing, but yet you did something against the Clintons and won. So you got a feather in your cap for me anyway for that as well.
Well, yeah, it was quite a miraculous case, and thank you for that. I'll take that. It was amazing that a small-town sheriff from southeast Arizona, and you know it's a small town. It only has one Dairy Queen.
Only 37,000 people in the entire county.
Correct, correct. And it's known for copper, cattle, and cotton, and those are both getting bigger. But the lawsuit against the Clintons was because of government overreach, and it was pursuant to the Brady Bill, which was Bill Clinton's brainchild and one of his biggest moments while he was president. And he signed that into law in November of 93, and I filed lawsuit against it February 29, 1994. We ended up at the Supreme Court, Sheriff Prince and I together, December of 1996, and then Justice Antonin Scalia wrote the decision for the majority in a 5-4 split. The five Republicans sided with us, and the four Democrats sided with Clinton. But this was the first time in history where sheriffs did that, the only time in history where sheriffs did that, and we won. That's what everyone needs to understand. We beat the Clinton administration on their own turf, on their own bill, and the Brady Bill was the first time that Congress and the president said, well, we're just going to commandeer the sheriffs of this country and make them enforce this federal law because we want them to. And we don't really have the money right now, so we'll just tell the sheriffs and the counties that they're going to fund all of this and they're going to do it. And I said, nope, two problems with that. And believe me, I was not confident in doing this. I was scared. I had no clue what I was doing. I finally called the NRA and asked, what do I do with this? And they gave me to Richard Gardner, who was an attorney for them. I told him who I was and what I wanted to do, and his next line changed my life forever. He said, Sheriff, we've already been preparing the paperwork on this case, and we've been praying that you would call. And I said, me? And he goes, we needed a sheriff, and you're the first one to call.
Hmm.
And I said, great, let's do it. And so I hired my own attorney out of Tucson, Dave Hardy. He used to work for the NRA. And then the NRA lawyers also put together the case. And six other sheriffs joined me in the lawsuit. And all of us won at the district court except the sheriff in Texas. How do you lose a state sovereignty Second Amendment case in Texas? But anyway, yeah, he did. And then we had conflicting rulings. We lost. Prince and I are in the Ninth Circuit, which is San Francisco. We lost. We got overturned. But the Fifth Circuit for Romero and Coog came out big time, and we won. So now we had a conflicting ruling at the circuit level, which my attorneys told us that would guarantee us a trip to the Supreme Court. And indeed, it did. And this is the most powerful, amazing 10th Amendment state sovereignty decision in the history of our country. And I will be speaking about all of this and showing you absolute proof and evidence that what I just said is true, and that the sheriffs of this country have the obligation, the moral, lawful, spiritual obligation to uphold and defend and enforce the Bill of Rights and the Constitution in their counties, and take action against anyone in their jurisdictions who is violating the Constitution. And I don't care if it's the IRS or DEA or the president himself. No one in this country should try to enforce or attempt to believe that we should be enforcing laws of hate, prejudice, political corruption, or tyranny.
Sheriffs can be a lot of different political stripes. You remember the sheriff in Florida, the one that Ron DeSantis fired right after he got into office. And yet I can remember a sheriff in Oregon back during the Biden and Obama administration who said, we will not enforce these anti-Second Amendment unconstitutional laws that are being passed.
That was Tim Mueller in Linn County, Oregon.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. Sheriffs do have a lot of power. What do you, and you're part of a sheriff's group now, and mm-hmm. by the way, before we forget, in case somebody has to leave real quick, Sheriff Mack will be speaking in Reno coming up. Give the date and the time and the place real quick.
I wish I remembered the place, but I do know.
I will find it, too.
I do know that it's...
I could have sworn...
Somebody needs to email you or text you that real quick.
Well, I will get it, and I'll be on for another hour or so on the show, and I'll make sure I mention it
good.
Two or three times. And
Thursday. It's Thursday in Reno, or actually in Sparks. It's a church in Sparks somewhere, but I don't remember it right.
Right. I will get the details, and I apologize to those of you listening. We will let you know where Sheriff Mack. Any other sheriffs going to be joining you on stage for that?
I think some other sheriffs are attending. I don't know if the Republican women are having them speak or introduce me or anything else like that, but there's some other sheriffs coming, yes.
Well, like I was saying, we have an awfully good sheriff. I want to pat Sheriff Coverly on the back from Douglas County, who our county is a Second Amendment sanctuary county. You got to applaud North Dakota, who recently their whole entire legislature and governor signed a bill that said we will not enforce any unconstitutional executive orders that Joe Biden signs. But what do you do to encourage people other than just letting them know your sheriff has a lot of power? Would you suggest to people that they go to their local sheriff and say, look, are you going to enforce these ghost gun bans that are forthcoming, those sorts of things?
Yeah, everyone should have a relationship with their sheriff and know what his intent is in protecting the citizens of his county, his constituents. First of all, the sheriff's power comes directly from the people. I don't know if you even realize this, but the sheriff has no other boss except the voters of his county. He doesn't report to anybody else. He doesn't report to the governor. He doesn't report to anyone except the people. Now, he can be removed from office for committing a crime of, I don't know, it usually has to be a felony.
Right.
And I think that's why the sheriff was removed in Florida. He had a criminal complaint going against him, and And so anyway, I know the sheriff that you're talking about, but this is really key. What makes us a constitutional republic is that we have to go by the rules of the Constitution, but within a Republican form of government. And I'm not talking about the Republican Party. I'm talking about the Republican form, a republic, if you can keep it.
Right.
Franklin told a woman outside, and in the pledge it says, "Unto the republic." What's the difference between a republic and a democracy? A democracy is mobocracy. Mm-hmm. One more than 50%,
the majority rules,
which becomes literally a democratic dictatorship in a lot of ways, is what we have now.
Or can I correct you there, Mr. Mack? Let me, because this is a battle that I will never win, but I still point out, please, there is a difference. One's an adjective, one's a noun. One's a Democrat, right. One's democratic. Democrats are far from democratic.
Oh, very true. Oh, I love that. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they do not care about the democratic process. They want a monopoly on every facet of government that there is. They want to rule by force and fear. And I regret to say that some of the Republicans keep following after them. But the rule book is the Constitution, and that is what every public official has sworn an oath in God's name to keep. And what I really got disenchanted with when I was sheriff is that I saw no training. I saw no adherence to the oath of office that all of us in government are required by the supreme law of the land, Article 6, to swear an oath of allegiance to the Constitution. What really gets to me is nobody keeps it. Mm-hmm. We summarily ignore it, and everything and everybody's just fine with that. Why? Because that's what everybody does in government. Well, it's time we turn that around, and I have the solution for that. I can show everybody exactly how we're supposed to be doing that. It's a simple process to take America back, but it's going to take some courage and some real bold action by local officials. We take America back county by county, one sheriff at a time, but he cannot do it alone. We must get the American people behind him or her and get other local officials involved. Every patrol officer, every chief of police, everybody in government, city councils, county commissioners, counties, attorneys, same thing. We all have an obligation to put liberty first. Liberty first. Not traffic tickets, not DUI checkpoints, not the drug war. Liberty is first, and that's what we uphold. That's what we defend, and that's what we enforce. And when we get that and we make that paradigm shift over to liberty and the principles upon which America was founded, we restore our Constitution once again as the supreme law of the land.
Well said. Richard Mack, former sheriff from Arizona. Richard, we're running about 6 minutes late on the break, and I know you've got just a limited amount of time with us. I can invite you to stay for 3 or 4 minutes. I'll run and print out the poster and look for the email on where you're speaking and whatnot. I kind of wanted to get your opinion on everything that's going on now with police departments. Different from sheriff, but okay. This stand down and everything. Can you hang on for 3 or 4 minutes?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Okay. We'll be right back to you. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. We'll be right back.
No furloughs, no bankruptcies, no debt. Nevada's radio model for success. 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk.
So far, anyway. Jerry Evans in for Monica J. Sheriff Richard Mack is our guest from Arizona right now. And Sheriff, I've got everything in front of me here. And for those Yay. Of you listening that want to see Sheriff Mack, happy to announce the $100 VIP ticket. Those are sold out. So people want to shake your hand, spend some time with you. But after today, if you want to save $5, get your tickets today. There's still $20 general admission tickets are available, but they go up to $25 after today. And I'll get people the information about where to get tickets to see Sheriff Mack speak. Founder of Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, and also established the County Sheriff Project Movement. I wanted to get your opinion on what's going on today across the country. It is mostly police, and I call them police states, where you have these stand-down orders. Also, here's something interesting, too. Three-quarters of our states are stand-your-ground states. 12 states are duty to retreat. Can you imagine living in a state where it is your duty to retreat and not protect yourself?
Yeah, obviously somebody doesn't know the intent of the founding fathers there, and that was to protect our innate right to self-defend, not to run away. I'm all for exercising discretion in any type of situation. I'm grateful in the 20 years that I was in law enforcement that I never had to shoot anybody. There was one situation where I probably should, and when I review that with other police, they said, yeah, you should have. But I couldn't do it at the time. His son was standing next to him, and I just couldn't pull the trigger. I couldn't do it. Yeah. But be that as it may, I am worried about what's happening to law enforcement nationwide. I'm really worried about what just happened in the Chauvin trial. And I believe he, my opinion is, I believe he was guilty of a serious crime and probably the second-degree murder. I don't know. I don't know if it rises to that level, but it certainly was manslaughter. I don't think he did it on purpose. I think he did it callously. The message that was loud and clear, pretty much from the president, but definitely from some other Democrats and Maxine Waters included in that, is that if the jury doesn't side with us on this, then there's going to be hell to pay. Mm-hmm. And there is no way that any judge or any courtroom should be putting up with that kind of crap. And each trial is independent in and of itself, and we need to let the judicial system work. I said from the very beginning, when all of these thugs were out there looting and burning and rioting, that every process in the justice system that needed to take place was happening faster in this case than I had ever seen.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing.
Everything for justice was happening, and they were putting all these signs out. No justice, no peace. In other words, we're going to keep rioting. It was already happening just as it should, and yet we still put up with all those riots. And I'm all for protesting, and I'm all for exercising civil disobedience as shown to us and taught to us by Martin Luther King and Rosa Parks and Gandhi. I'm all in favor of that. But once you turn violent and you become a criminal, you are a crook, you are a thug, and you should be going to jail. And so I won't make any exceptions on that, left, right, or indifferent. I don't care.
I was having a conversation with my first wife this morning over coffee and a pastry about the sad situation this country is in. And I will not say, because people will misinterpret what I say, as to what has to start happening to stop what's going on. But if this is a hypothetical, it's not a proposal, but for example, and using somewhat tying it in with the cop who just shot the girl who was about to stab another girl,
right.
I saw the videos last summer. I saw a video of a 6'5", 250-pound black man breaking a chair over a small 5'3" woman who was dragged out of her store, breaking a chair over the woman's back. What do we have to do? And I said, until people start shooting people that are doing that, you can't take the law into your own hands, as the saying goes. Until that starts happening, how do you stop them from ever doing it? You can't rely on the government, in particular, this particular government. I mean, it didn't happen during Donald Trump. It's not going to happen during Joe Biden.
Yeah, and, you know, Biden used to say to Trump whenever there was a problem in the country that this was his country. Well, whose is it now? Mm-hmm. And I'm really appalled at what's happening to justice in America. But, you know, if a person was doing what you just said to a smaller woman like that, that is a lethal action opportunity, I shouldn't say opportunity, but a situation, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody would be within their rights to point a gun at him, and if he didn't stop with a warning. And a citizen, I'm talking about a citizen, people who are concealed carriers in this country, they would have every right, because he's about to kill that woman, and it looks like if you can cause a severe physical harm or death, then you're allowed to shoot that person. I don't advocate shooting a lot of people because, like I say, I never did, and I could talk people out of it most of the time. But if you can't, you have an obligation to save that woman. And we had a guy in Arizona on Highway Patrol just 3 or 4 years ago, a Californian passing through on I-10 towards Tucson from Phoenix, and a Highway Patrol officer was being beat and looked like he was going to be killed. And the citizen, that Californian, stopped by and said, "You need my help." And he said, "Shoot him." And the Californian shot and killed the suspect, mm-hmm. and saved this officer's life. So have an armed citizenry. Really helps a lot of times, and regardless of whether we help or not, each individual in this country has the right to choose to be armed, and that is guaranteed. And the other part of that equation is, the other side of that coin is, gun control in the United States of America is against the law. I only wish that the President of the United States now, and Kamala Harris, and just about every Democrat in the country, could understand that and read the history behind the Second Amendment and understand why the Founding Fathers put it there in the first place. And as you mentioned before break, I love the counties that are making themselves Second Amendment sanctuaries, or even better yet, Bill of Rights sanctuaries or Constitution sanctuaries, because that's exactly what every county in this country should be. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land.
You can find out how to start this process of county by county, sheriff by sheriff, by coming to hear Richard Max speak Thursday, April 29th from 7 to 8:30 p.m. at the Spirit-Filled Church, 3175 Goldie Way in Sparks. General admission tickets are available for $20 now. The VIP tickets are sold out. I'll pass on the phone number, Mr. Mack, and I appreciate you coming on the air with us, and again, congratulations. Glad you did what you did. I wish I would have been paying more attention back in 96 when you were presenting that case. One last thing, too, just to kind of put the hammer on what we just talked about. Do you remember Justice Sotomayor, who couldn't answer the question as to whether or not a person had a right to defend oneself, and she is a Supreme Court judge now?
Yeah, and that just kind of shows you that, when you pick somebody for their political persuasion instead of their qualifications of knowing and understanding the Constitution, that's going to happen. I will also be covering one other hot topic when I'm there Thursday. That would be the COVID-19 mandates and regulations. And let me just put it this way. There is no exemption to constitutional principles and individual liberty. And certainly COVID-19 is no exception to any of the principles of liberty that our country was founded upon.
That will probably take up most of the rest of the show, which we're going to open up to callers at 884-9910. Sheriff Mack, thank you for joining us. Thanks for what you did and for what you're continuing to do. God bless you, and we'll hopefully see you down the road someplace. Maybe in Safford, Arizona.
I hope to see you Thursday. Yeah, let's do it. Thank you so much.
All right. Sheriff Mack, take a quick break. We'll be back. Open up the phone line to 884-9910.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk 99.1.
And don't forget 92.3 FM. You can stream that. If you're in Yerington, Smith Valley, you want to stream the signal, it's at www.923fmtalk.com. It's that simple. You stream that. Cowboy Country will be up streaming here within 3 or 4 hours. You can stream Cowboy Country 102.5 FM as well. A couple of minutes. I don't want to get into any topics in particular, but I will tell you, we'll start off next hour. I'd be happy to take your calls at 884-9910. Going to take the Republican Party to task And I'll use their own words to point out how, be nice, Jerry, foolish they are. Okay? That's better than stupid, isn't it? I heard an ad on the radio station here yesterday. The COVID, and I want to correct the ad, the COVID-19 pandemic or scamdemic has not created hardships for businesses and families. Jerry's words. The government has created hardship for businesses and families, and in too many cases, destroyed both. Should D.C. become the 51st state? I have an idea of how most of you will vote on that. Well, why not? Is that an answer? I think it's yes or no, or well, why not? We're losing everything anyway. Our poll is sponsored by Nissan Carson City. Go to 991fmtalk.com or 923fmtalk.com and vote on that. Should Washington, D.C., hey, it's funny, but it's the reality we live in. Should D.C. become the 51st state? One of, I thought there were 57 when Obama was president, but or at least that's what he said. Also, something coming up this Saturday, April 24th at 9:30 a.m. It's the NVFAC-PAC Second Amendment Legislative Briefing Call. Saturday morning, 9:30 a.m., you have to register for that. Jim Settlemyer, Senator James Settlemyer, will be the moderator of that. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, Fox, and then we'll be back with your calls and the Republican bashing.